reactive to your own programs, to being reactive to your own natural proclivity to go toward what you like and away from what you don't like. And the goal is to increase your freedom. That when you can walk in a world where it doesn't really matter whether you're first in line or last in line, or whether your friend says and, or whether you've got 2-ply toilet paper when you'd rather have 4-ply, when you can live in that sort of a world, then you have enormous more freedom of motion. And you've actually liberated some, again, energy that was stuck in the story of yourself, your World 48 ego self, which is not going to survive this passage. You've liberated it for something else. But that is only the itsy-bitsy beginning of intentional suffering. And this is what I really want to emphasize, which is why I think it's such a high practice, that because once you've begun to get fairly adept at being able to put up with the unpleasant manifestations of another, or taking on something freely and graciously because it needs to be done, without even needing anybody to notice that you're being heroic, once you've really gotten that degree of inner freedom, then you get to find out what it is really, which is intentional suffering is implicitly collective and it's implicitly Pascal, which is why I say that it comes from World 12. It's a deliberate part of taking on the cost of arising, the pain body of humanity, the pain body of all sentient beings, the pain body of God. Can we say that? Is it even vaguely permissible to say that, the pain body of God? But that's exactly what Gurdjieff is pointing to in his fourth Obligoldian striving, when he talks about to pay as quickly as possible for the price of our individual arising, so as to be able to lighten the sorrow of our common father. And what is the sorrow? Ultimately, it's the self-constriction into form in order that love may manifest, that anything may manifest. And it cuts through all the worlds. It's already there in World 3. It's the first cut that separates World 1 from World 3. With the same potential that allows anything to be, the holy, unbroken wholeness has already cut itself into bits and allowed the parts to be in relationship with each other so that the drive shot of manifestation can happen. Burma nailed it. He said, pain is the ground of motion. It goes way back. The other side of creativity is suffering. The other side of manifestation is suffering. It's why you can't get rid of suffering and think that you're going to have creation at all. It's it's how we misunderstand the Buddhists. Suffering is not a mistake to be corrected. It's a holy condition of bearing forth love.
It's a holy condition what?
Bearing forth love or anything else. And we know that in all worlds. You spoke so beautifully of that yesterday, April, of how it feels in our worlds. But it's the tie rod connecting the worlds. So part of, as soon as you kind of get your act together about learning intentional suffering in your own life, you always look, and there's a face of intentional suffering in World 24. And there's a face of it in World 12. I think there's even a face of it in World 6. There has to be, but I don't know World 6 too well at this point. So But you get the drift of it. And this is really important as we begin to bear down on the question of how we are right now in the pandemic. Because the collective pain body of the world is sky high. The collective pain body of the imaginal world is sky high. The pain body of the Christic world is sky high. And how a practice can draw, somehow defuse, somehow mitigate by sharing in the burden of it. And of course, this is to lighten the burden, says Gurdjieff. Doesn't say to eliminate it. And the lightening of a burden is not when it's eliminated. The lightening of a burden is when it's shared. So, yeah, Doug.
I'm trying to track. I'm trying to bring together your terminology from Teilhard and Gurdjieff and whomever with scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a profound passage in Philippians where that's been preached on a million times, but only the first half because we don't get the second half of it, which I'm thinking might be what you're talking about, where Paul's talking about the longing of his heart, and he said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Those are good evangelical phrases. But then the third thing is to share in the fellowship of his sufferings and then to become like him in his death. And well, we don't know what to do with those two, but it sounds to me as though that's what you've been talking about for the last umpteen minutes.
That's exactly what I've been talking about, and that's where we're going to go tomorrow. You've just sort of, and putting it in strict biblical terms, to share in the fellowship of his suffering, to lighten the burden of our common Father, knowing that the suffering is not just not just because human beings screwed up. It's way deeper than that. Way deeper than that.
What verse is that,
Doug? It's Philippians 2. I don't know the exact verse.
Philippians 2 is in there with the great putting on the mind of Christ chapter, then, isn't it? And then to share in his death, which is what we're going to talk about tomorrow. We can't avoid talking about it, because until we have some sense of okayness about moving beyond death, you know, we're trapped like rats on a sinking ship. And we won't be able to help. We'll pull our head out of the gallows at exactly the place where you need to lay it down more firmly. So that's where we're going, but thank you. Blessings. Exactly nailed it. That's where we're heading, and the language correlates exactly. You've just got it. And you're right, we all like the happy stuff. But we don't like this, the luminous knowing that comes through these other two. But where we are right now has forced us to go back to Scripture and look at those. So I have one more piece that goes in this little section, which is about the transforming or the connection of the creation of substances that are missing in the environment. And I think I can do this, and then we can take a break, because I'm not going to talk about this extensively. We've talked about how a lot of the work just comes as we work with just these tools we've seen, the welcoming prayer, intentional suffering and conscious labor, as we walk out on the streets, we already have the tools before us that will culminate in the releasing of these different fruits into the planetary atmosphere. They can't help but do it, and I'll talk about why. There's the other aspect, which is the aspect of noticing when an element is missing and setting out to supply it. And I would say this is generally more advanced practice. But we talked about this a little. This is what's happening for me. This is the heart of the teaching in Babette's Feast. And one of the reasons why this funny little folktale that got made into a beautiful movie is so extraordinarily beautiful. Because Babette shows up at this, you know, she's put to work by these old sisters who've slaved for a lifetime, giving up their own personal dreams for happiness in order to be true to their charismatic father's sense of mission and vocation. He brought into being this little flock of people, and he must have been one gut-busting Sagittarian preacher, because, boy, they were still there 50 years later. But they'd lost the fire of it. And they were falling apart, and the sisters were, you know, unable to maintain order in the flock, and you know, while not obviously lost in their victimization, they weren't being able to draw energy for life. So here's Babette. And if she had come into World 48 with World 48 kind of material, she would say to the sisters, "Oh, I see your congregation is not thriving. I see you're losing control. Would you like to come and talk to me about your, you know, your hidden unhappinesses?" And but Babette looks at the congregation, and she knows from the start that there's an element missing that prevents them from getting to their faith, which is still as alive as ever. And you see it already in the first thing when she's taking the ale broth, this disgusting food, around to feed them, but she's cooked it slightly differently. She was a gourmet chef. And this one guy who saw a semi-dementia sitting there, spooning it up, and all of a sudden you see the light go on in his eyes, and he picks up the ball and goes, and already you get, okay, what part of feeding do you not understand? But so she sets out to do this thing, which is, from the point of view of World 48, is manifestly stupid. She has won a ticket to a lottery, and with the amount of money she had won, she could take herself back to Paris, reestablish herself, certainly in some sort of business, and she decides instead to squander the whole thing on giving this 8 or 10 peasants, half of whom are already in moderate to advanced stages of dementia, who hate each other, who are you're suspicious of all that idle luxury. The one sister has had dreams that Babette is demonic and is serving them up a satanic feast. They've decided that they're not going to comment on the food at all, but she plunges on anyway. And toward the end, as they mellow, and as it just so happens that the fellow who has loved this one woman for years shows up at the banquet through, you know, a chain of coincidences, as you all know, and gives this beautiful, beautiful speech right out of the imaginal world about, you know, from Psalm 85, mercy and faithfulness have met, justice and truth have embraced. All of a sudden they mellow, and they gather around the fountain outside before they go home and sing this beautiful hymn to fellowship. And for a moment they've been fed. For a moment they've touched it. And even if they die the next day, what she's done is she's reconnected. She's created a new ground in which their faith becomes possible again, in which they can taste for a moment that everything they strove for, everything they lived for, everything they sacrificed for was not in vain, just hidden. And so what makes that story beautiful, she doesn't chastise, She doesn't judge. She doesn't verbalize. She just sees the lack vibrationally and quietly goes about with every bit of her business filling it, understanding that there's nothing more important in the planet than this particular piece of ground she's standing on right now and the lack that she's experiencing and her ability out of her own resources to draw something forth which will be the missing element in two realms. Not just in the physical realm. They could have held on eating ale broth for the rest of their life, but in the drawing, bringing 24 and 48 together, so once again, the snakeskin glistens. Beautifully glistens, where the world's reunited. So that quality, and I would encourage us all as we go back into our places to start thinking that way, to look at situations not in terms of intellectual judgments about what's deficient, but in terms of energetic understandings, like we're malnourished. What's the missing ingredient? And how do you provide it? This is beginning to do that imaginal transportation, you know, that Jesus did it at the last, or not the Last Supper, but at the feeding of the multitudes. Before he could get them, so they'd listen to his message, this incredible message of abundance, of non-fear, he had to solve the problem. They were hungry and they were scared. And then they could listen. So these are, again, skills. How you begin to generate this is a little bit, you know, as I say, to really do it well, there's an advanced art to it. But to begin to see a little bit about how it could be done, we'll work with more. Absolute last bit, and then we take a break. That, again, as I reviewed yesterday, when we begin to work in the world in this way, there are three things that are the resultant of it. The first is that, to begin with, these real necessary elements are put back into the planet. So that when you do the work and when you do the welcoming prayer and 1 minute ago you were going to hit somebody in the face and you can come back and give them grace and space of being, you've concretely put these higher substances into the planet. Okay? So that's the first thing, that when you perform the alchemy, the alchemical fruits of your conscious work are there. They enter the planetary field, atmosphere. You can't control the direction in which they go, but they're there. So the conscious work, Rafe used to say to me, no conscious work is ever wasted, because it generates new elements, which are all joined anyway in the planet. You know, everything's airborne. So that's one thing that happens when you do it. You're consciously participating in building up the planetary body, the planetary inner body on its nutrients of peace, joy, gentleness, forbearance. You know, you're feeding. Okay? So the second thing that happens is that in the act of doing that alchemy, you know, chemistry, you know, all chemistry and all alchemy, you know, produces energy as part of the results of the experiments and, you know, the fusions and combinations. This is liberating radial energy that we talked about, and in the map of the megalocosmos, that's what gives the collective boost for things to move upward toward the higher worlds. It's the uploading force. We talked about how on the involutionary streak, it goes right down to tangential energy, and that one of the things that really happens at this MIFA junction point is it's the place where the tangential energy and the radial energy change form. That's another way of looking at the work we're doing. So everything that we do finer in the work of creating this, these and releasing these substances, we also release radial energy, the counter-entropic force for the megalocosmos, our cosmic service. And finally, through this work, as well as through the receiving of higher substances, which we're going to talk about when we get back to work after our coffee break, we coat our higher being bodies, as Gurdjieff like to call it. In other words, these also help us to build up second body, our Kesjan body, which is our body in the imaginal world, the Christic body, the third body of our agency in the Christic world, and, you know, presumably the fourth body of the logoic, you know, world six. But we begin to build these bodies, and this is not once again for our personal enhancement. It's so that we can negotiate in these worlds and in a sense become bridges of the energies of the stream, you know, to know the language of imaginal reality, to be able to work and live in your imaginal body is not just some sort of spiritual stunt you learn to do in this world to make you holier than everybody else. It's so that you can consciously draw and hang with St. Francis and Mary Magdalene and Thomas Keating and Joseph and Rafe and all these who we like to say have gone before us, but they've gone beyond us. And to allow the chain of transmission that brings help, clarity, stability, and guidance into this planet to touch base. You know, it has to come down, as that Siegel quote we looked at yesterday said, it needs the coating of the coarse physical materials to make it through. And so if we can't hear it, if we can't access it, if we can't live it, we've done no good. So as we begin to develop these bodies, we become much more conscious and effective participants in the great scheme of uploading and downloading, which keeps the whole thing floating. So that's why. Okay, is that enough before we take a break? Okay, well, get back here at 11 and we're going to work a little bit. We're going to take another run up on Meg Strong with a couple of different lights coming through it. But thank you.
Thank you.
Will we have time to kind of have some conversation about this session? Will that happen later this afternoon?
Yeah, I think that will. I think that will all fall into the afternoon session. And the afternoon session can go on until dinner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you sign these for me?
Yeah.
See you.
Oh, yeah. Look at this.
Sandy Joe.
Sandy Joe. Now, who is this person?
It's one of the sacred souls on the planet. A dear friend of mine who's just amazing. And this is from Mario. Oh. World famous chef. Mario. World famous.
How did you play that music?
Beyond
on your computer?
Everything on the planet.
I'll show you.
Wow.
Because where did